And so we come to the final scene in Matthew's introduction. We've seen John the Baptist. We've seen Jesus in this intimate communion with God, which he wants us to know was happening all the time, the prayer, the divinity of Christ. We've seen Jesus in his real humanity, remaining sinless and daring the journey of faith. And now in the fourth portrait, Matthew 4, verse 12 to 16, Matthew, the gospel of that community of Jews and Gentiles, places Jesus where his ministry took place, in the land of the Gentiles. Now when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and made his home in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. And here we are again in a fulfillment text. Land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, on the road by the sea, across the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light, and for those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned. That's a particularly beautiful text, and I'm going to spend the rest of the evening on it in its original setting. It's taken from Isaiah, the last verse of chapter 8 and the first verse of chapter 9 it is. I'm going to give you a different translation because I think the translation of the Hebrew is wanting here, and the professor who taught me this had made a special study of this text and I found it quite impressive, so I'm going to give you that translation and put that whole text in its setting. Galilee, just before I do that, the center of Judaism is Judah, of course, very name, Judah. But in the time of the Maccabees, they did go back and recolonize the northern part around Galilee. But it was mainly Gentiles there. Jews went back and recolonized it. So there were Jews and Gentiles rubbing shoulders. It's Galilee of the Gentiles. And that's where Jesus went. He didn't stay in the center of Judaism. He went somewhere, even not just anywhere in Galilee, but to Capernaum, which was the city, a large enough town, a fishing town, on the Lake of Galilee. And the Roman road, the Via Maris, went right through it. And that's where the army were. As we'll see, the centurion is there. That's where the tax was collected. It was a major town. And Jesus went there. His word was, right from the beginning, meant to spread and to reach out beyond the confines of strict Judaism into the Gentile world as well. That's where he was, and Matthew picks up that point in that text. Let's look at the text in its original context. Isaiah lived in the second half of the 8th century before Christ. He lived at a period when and we've done this a number of times because we're quoting Isaiah all the way through, when the Assyrians, modern Iraq, were moving in from the east against the Syrians at Damascus, the Lebanese in our terms, the Tyre and Sidon, and the Palestine area, and against Egypt and so on. So that was, Sargon II was the one who did it. Now, when they came through, they did have quite a successful period of destruction, first of all of the northern parts, as we'll see. And there were refugees moving along the roads, as we've seen in recent times. And this seems to be a description of the aftermath of that first invasion of Galilee by the Assyrian army. And the text, the bits in brackets I'm adding, but the text reads, he, that is the nameless refugee, no name, just he, wanders across it, brackets, a nameless land, oppressed and hungry, and in his starving condition he becomes desperate and curses his king and his God as he turns his face upward. Downward to the earth he looks, and there is anguish, darkness, swirling oppression, confused gloom. For there is no glimmer of light for an oppressed land. And this is where our text starts. At the time, a beginning of humiliation of the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali led to a worsening of oppression. And then he mentions the three states that the Assyrians divided the northern part, or the southern part of Galilee, but the northern part of Israel into: the way of the sea near present Dor, or Duru, they called it. So that's one province, Dur. That was one of the ports, the harbours on the coast. In Transjordan, that's across Gilead, or Galatsu, as they call it. And in the Galilee of the nations, which is Megiddo, when the town of Megiddo is on the pass through the mountains. So our author is watching this increasing pressure, first of all in Zebulun and Naphtali, which are northern Galilee, and then the oppressions coming south into the three areas of Dor and Transjordan up on the mountains of Bashan, and then in the Galilee of the nations. Side. And now Isaiah declares in chapter 9 that Yahweh will rescue them, and Matthew wants us to see Jesus as the one going into this dark land, this confused land, as the light to begin preaching the good news. So Isaiah declares that Yahweh will rescue them and looks forward to the ascent to the throne in Jerusalem, which is the birth of the king, the birth as king, of Hezekiah. And that happened in the year 716. That's the setting of this text. And it reads, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those dwelling in the land of the shadow of death, light has dawned." That's the bit Matthew quotes, and then the text goes on, "You have enlarged the nation. You've increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as men rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you've shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of the oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood is destined for burning, will fuel the fire." So war's going to come to an end, and violence. Concludes, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given." Born, not physically born from the mother's womb, but born as king, crowned, dedicated. David, reincarnated in Hezekiah. "To us a child is born, to us a son is given. Government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called," and you might know in those days among the pharaohs and generally in the East, when a king became king, having been prince, he was given throne names. Special names were given him in that ceremony, which were going to be typical of his reign. The hopes that they placed in him, at any rate, in the reign. And what are the throne names going to be given to Hezekiah? "Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." These are the names of the king. Wonderful Counselor. In other words, he's the one who's going to share in the wisdom of God. He's going to rule wisely with God's wisdom. Secondly, Mighty God. He's going to take the power of God into battle with darkness and release the north. That's the hope of Isaiah. Jesus is going to do this in another way, a more fundamental way, as we'll see him confronting darkness. Everlasting Father. He's going to be the father of the nation, the patria. And he's going to forever effect the reign of God and Prince of Peace. Shalom. Bring the whole nation into harmony with God. That's Isaiah. That's the promise about Hezekiah. And you can see echoing in that something of Jesus, who is going to fulfill all that in a wonderful, transcendent way. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with just decrees and righteousness from that time on forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. And so we come to the end of Matthew's introduction and the end of our evening. And we've seen now the whole setting. Jesus, the one who comes from Israel and fulfills all the promises made to David and Abraham, we're watching for that. Jesus, who is the Son of God, we're going to watch particularly for that intimacy between Jesus and his Father, which is the key. Jesus, who is like us, walking in the desert, tested by us, where Matthew wants us to watch for that. And Jesus, who has chosen to locate his mission in the darkness, among the Gentiles and Jews mixed, because he has a mission for the whole world to gather them into the scattered children, as John says, into the one community of faith. All of that prepares us for next week and the beginning of Jesus' public ministry in Galilee. So thank you. Tonight, Father, we pray that you open our hearts and our ears, our minds to listen to the teaching of Jesus and give us a desire to follow him. We pray this through Christ our Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Well, tonight we begin the Gospel proper. Matthew has given us the two chapters of the prologue as a kind of an introductory background of his major theological themes. And then he presented us, as you remember, with four pageants, four portraits, all of which apply to the whole of the Gospel. In the first we saw John the Baptist linking, therefore, Jesus and Christianity with the ancient religion of Judaism and its prophetic tradition. And then we saw the baptism, so that we'll watch, as we watch Jesus, we'll be watching the one who is the Son of God, and therefore we'll be expecting the divine to shine through his words and eyes and person. Then we saw the temptations, the journey in the wilderness, so that we wouldn't forget that what we're watching is real man on our real journey in our real troubled places. And then we saw him in Galilee to remind us that what Jesus has to offer and say is already something which is going to have implications for the whole of the Gentile world, Galilee of the Gentiles. And with those four themes behind us tonight, we begin chapter 4, verse 17, with a very brief summary of Jesus' preaching. And Matthew's words are, "From that time, Jesus began to proclaim, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near.'" Repent, open your minds, open your hearts, be ready for change, be ready for a new good news, something that's new and good. And why would we want to open our minds and hearts? Because the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, has come near, obviously in the person of Jesus. The main thing I just want to point out in that very brief verse is that it's an exact repetition of the words that John the Baptist began with, which are given us in chapter 3, the first verses. In those days, Matthew said, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness of Judea, proclaiming, on the other words, exactly the same message. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. A very dramatic way of intimately linking Jesus and John the Baptist, the last of the great prophets and the Messiah. And clearly, Matthew has very much in mind his own Jewish community, Jewish Christian community, and their families and friends who are still Jews in this missionary endeavour to reach across to Jesus' own co-religionists, if we could say that, to entice them to take the next step and be ready to join a community which is the fulfilment of Judaism.